Good morning. Today I want to talk about a topic that I'm going to cover for the next couple of weeks called Stronger Together. There's an old cliche that says you don't know what you have till it's gone. The beauty about cliches is that there is a notion of truth to them, even though they're things that we often say. So you don't know what you have till it's gone. We didn't know what we had when it came to being together and to hanging out together and going places together until it was gone. The pandemic that hit about 18 months ago took that away from us, and we didn't know what we had till it was gone. One of the things we learned in this lockdown time that we had was that we had longed for a time of connection, the need for connecting with people, for being together, for doing life together. You see, we were made for community, and we are much stronger together than we are when we're individually apart. Today, I want to draw your attention to a passage in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is one of the wisdom books. It's a book that is usually credited to Solomon or someone who was writing for him. And the writer of this book is called the teacher. Some versions you might call him the preacher, but we'll call him the teacher today. Ecclesiastes could be a little hard to understand because it sometimes sounds very bleak, and it explores the futilities and the emptiness of life, and you wonder, what good is there in this book? But you have to understand, the whole idea of the book is to remind us that life without God is purposeless and meaningless. And the teacher says that as he looks back over his life and the times that he lived without God, that he found purpose and meaning when he found God. So the book also offers us wise insights for living along the way. So it brings us to a passage that the teacher is talking about companionship and the need we have for each other. Even if you've never read much of the book of Ecclesiastes, these verses might be verses you may have heard them before. So we find in chapter 4, verses 9 to 12, these words. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. I have a rope with me today. Most of you have used a rope or held a rope or seen a rope at one time or another. I don't know if you've ever looked closely at a rope. This is a big rope here. And so I find in this rope there are many little strands, and the little strands are braided together, if you would. And then so that this was actually a rope of three cords. And so each of the strands makes a braid, and each of those cords, if you would, braided into a cord, and each of those cords are braided together with two others, and we have this rope, this very, very strong rope. This rope here can hold about 700 pounds. That's how strong it is. So when you look at it, every strand on its own, here's a couple of loose strands. I could take this strand, and a strand won't hold anything. The beauty of the rope, the trick of the rope, the mystery of the rope, if you would, is that it takes all these little strands, braids them together into cords, and braids those cords together into the rope. What is weak on its own is made exponentially stronger when it's put together and forms this rope. I mean, rope is quite an amazing tool. Think about it. It was one of the first building tools that the ancients would have had. They could use it to catch animals or to tie animals up. They could hoist and pull heavy objects with a rope. They could carry things and move them. Even ropes were able to help people cross rivers and chasms. They could build rope bridges. I wouldn't want to be the one building and testing it, but that's okay. People even today, back then and today, campers, they will take rope and tie up their food and hang it up over the ground away from the animals so the animals can't get in and keep the food supply safe. Rope is essential for sailing, even today and even back in the day. So rope is a convenient tool. But as always, remember, the strength of the rope comes by twisting and weaving multiple strands and making them together, because together they are stronger. And we too, we are like rope in that way. We are stronger when we are woven together with Christ, and this happens in multiple levels. Today I'd like to explore three ways, three strands of our rope, if you would, that make us stronger together. And the first is foundational. It's this, is we are stronger in Christ. If we're going to talk about strength, we need to start with Christ. Jesus is not only our source of strength, Jesus is our strength. The Apostle Paul writes to us in Philippians 4:13. He says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Putting that verse in the context of everything that Paul is talking about there, he's teaching us that we need to find contentment in all of our circumstances. But the bigger picture that he's telling us is we need to come to a reliance and a confidence that is in Jesus, not a confidence in ourselves. See, Jesus told the same thing to his disciples with a wonderful word picture that is recorded for us in John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1, where Jesus says this, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you could do nothing. Now, I could almost imagine that Jesus was walking down the road with his disciples when he decided it was time for a break, and he had them sit for a rest, and right there beside them was this beautiful vineyard. And Jesus said to them, you know, look at those vines. Let me tell you, I am the vine. You are the branches. Now, I made that up. I just used my imagination. Bible doesn't say that's what happened. Bible did say Jesus spoke these words, and we want to look at them for a moment, because Jesus is telling us that the vine is the life source for the branches and the fruit. I mean, you and I don't have to be professional gardeners to understand that if you cut a branch off of the vine, the branch is going to die. And if the branch dies, it will not produce any fruit. So it makes sense to us. We understand that. In order for the branch to live, it has to stay connected to the vine. In order for fruit to come forth, the branch needs to be connected to the vine. See, we are the branches in this illustration, and Jesus is the vine. In order for us to stay healthy, spiritually healthy, we need to stay connected to Jesus. He's the vine. In order for our lives to produce good fruit for the kingdom of God, we need to be connected to the vine, which is Jesus. Jesus is telling us that we need to remain connected to him. We have to abide in him, that Jesus is our source of life. He is our strength, that we are stronger in Christ. Jesus is the strength that we draw on, and he helps us to live life and face the challenges of life. And this leads us to our second cord, our second strand. We are stronger in weakness. I know that doesn't make sense, but listen to what the Apostle Paul wants to teach us. The Bible tells us that Paul was going through a hardship or a challenge, not really specific on what he was going through, but Paul called it the flesh, the thorn in his flesh, called it the thorn. We don't really know what the exact thorn was, but it bothered him enough that he brought it to prayer a number of times. I think it's kind of good that we don't know as people today, because we can't look at our situation in comparison to Paul's and go, well, Paul, God spoke to Paul because Paul dealt with that specific thing. No, there's a general teaching here that is more powerful to us, because we all face things. We all have our own thorns, if you would, that we go through. And Paul is teaching us that we can turn to Christ about it. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 8, Paul says this, "Three times I begged the Lord to take it away." That's the thorn. "Each time he said, 'My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is a very weird paradox, if you would. When we are weak, then we are strong. The change of weakness to strength happens when you are willing to trust God. See, God did not remove Paul's thorn, but he gave him the strength and the ability to overcome it. The teaching here is that even when things are hard, God gives you the strength to rise above your circumstance. Notice what it says here. We don't just have to endure the circumstance. God doesn't give us strength just so we could put up with it. He gives us the strength so that we could rise above it. But remember, it starts with Christ. It starts with staying connected to the vine. Let's look at this rope again for a second. A rope really finds its strength. It's really put to the test, if you would, when it is stressed. When you're going to tie it around something that you want to move and drag it away, the stress of pulling on it, on the rope, is where it finds its strength. Does it snap because the object is too heavy, or does it move the object because the rope is strong? So that's the stress. Think of a rock climber. A rock climber uses ropes, special rock climbing ropes, and they take and they tie off their harness to the rope, and then as they begin to climb, they put safety catches into the rock face, and they hammer them in, and they tie the rope around it, and as they continue to climb, they continue to tie themselves off, and that's important. I mean, for the most time, that rope is just loosely hanging there. It's there as a safety catch, if you would. Now, as the climber climbs, should the climber slip and fall a few feet, the rope then comes into action. There's a stress on the rope, and the rope snags and holds them by the harness, and the climber is safe, and then they can resume climbing. See, it's when the stress, when that climber begins to slip and fall a little bit, the rope snags, the stress of the rope catches on those safety clips, and the climber is safe and saved. See, that's the stress of the rope is where you see its potential. And under the stress of life, the strength of God is proven. When we are weak, there is no doubt that the strength of Jesus Christ carries us through. Jesus says to you, "I've got this. Abide in me. Live in me." Jesus reminds us we might be weak, but it's okay because he is strong. And this leads us to the third strand today. We are stronger together. See, God never designed us to live life alone. If you go back to the beginning, back to the Garden of Eden, back to creation, you'll know that God made man, and after he made man, a little while later, said it's not good for man to be alone. So he made Eve a helper, a companion. And together they lived together, and they grew together, and the world grew around them. And it wasn't good for them to be alone. God knew that right from the beginning. Together is where Jesus designs us to live our Christian life out. See, each of us is a single strand of a rope, but Jesus takes us through his power and through who he is, and he takes all of us as individual strands, all of individual believers, Jesus follows, and he ties us together, and he knits us, and he weaves us together so that we become one of those cords. And then he takes many cords together, and he makes us strong like a rope. Romans 12, 4 and 5 gives us a similar picture in a different way. It says it like this: "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." I mean, just look at your body as an example. Your body is a whole bunch of different things: fingers and toes and arms and legs and eyes and ears, right? We need all the different parts of our body. You need all the different parts of your body to work together, to function together, to be one body. Your body is not a giant eyeball, okay? Your body is not a giant big toe or a thumb or even two fingers. No. All the members together make the body. And that's the picture of those who follow Jesus, the Christians. That's a picture of the church globally. It's a picture of the church locally as well. See, all the believers need all the believers. All of us believers need other believers to be part of our lives. We need to be part of other believers' lives, and you need to be part of other believers' life. We need each other. That's why gathering together is such an important element in our Christian journey. That's why we do things like gather together on a Sunday. That's why small groups is a life-giving place. That's why we are a church as a place to belong, because we all need that. We all need somewhere to belong. We all need somewhere to connect. We all need to have our lives intertwined with Jesus's life so that our lives become helpful to one another. See, we were made to be together. If anything we learned through this time of the pandemic is we hated being cocooned. We hated not going out and interacting and being with people. Even a simple thing like going to the restaurant with your friends became something we longed for at one time. At the beginning, we probably all liked it. It was like a couple of week break. We got to relax, slow down, sit around. But then that got tired, and then we got concerned about life, and we wanted to get back to being with people. Everyone that is, except some of you extreme introverts, right? You probably loved the idea that everything was shut down and you didn't have to go out and extrovert yourself. You could just be you. But the rest of us, we missed it. I think of the example of the early church when I think about this. The early church, that's the book of Acts. That's the early believers as they began to build the local churches and the gathering of believers. They pulled together. They lived in a difficult time. They were starting this new thing called the gospel and sharing Jesus, and people didn't understand them. People persecuted them. They had to scatter at times for their lives, literally go to other places to escape. But they pulled together. They used their skills and their abilities. They used them for each other. So if I had a skill that you needed, I freely gave you. And you had something to help me, you freely gave me. They pulled together. See, Jesus was their strength. Jesus was their life. Jesus was their purpose. Jesus was their goal. In their weaknesses, they were strong together. In the face of persecution, they were strong together. See, we need to belong together. We have that need in us. Connection and relationship are not a luxury for us. They are a need. God put that in us as human beings, the need to connect with other people. as God calls us into a relationship with Himself, He also calls us into a relationship and a community with each other. It's a need. We are stronger together. From now on, as you ever come to hold the rope, if you ever come to dissect it and maybe study it, I trust that whenever you see a rope, that you will remember these three truths, that we are stronger in Christ, we are strong in weakness, and we are stronger together. Remember, the rope is strong because the strands are weaved together, and many strands make it strong. And it's the same with you and I. As we come together, the more we are together, the stronger we become. I ask you just before we end this teaching segment today to stop and take a look at your life. Are you just a single strand? Have you been trying to make it through this world on your own? You don't think you need others. You don't think you need God. You're just a single strand. But as you think about the rope analogy picture today, you realize that a single strand might be a little bit strong on its own, but it's stronger together with others. Your strand becomes strongest when it's intertwined with the strand named Jesus Christ. When you understand that Jesus loves you and gave His life for you, and He wants to live in a relationship with you, He doesn't want to be an unknown entity. Jesus wants you to personally know Him. And you can know Jesus if you accept that He is who He is, who the Bible says that Jesus is, the Son of God. If you believe that He came and He died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, and you confess that you have a need of Jesus in your life, then you can begin walking in a relationship with Him. And if you want to walk in a relationship with Him, we at Highway here, we want to help you. That's why we exist. To help people find God through Jesus Christ. Would you pick up your phone and just simply text me one word, the word love, to our number 416-267-1189. And then please follow the prompts. It's going to ask you for your name in a way that we can contact you. We want to reach back to you. We want to help you walk in relationship with Jesus. And so text us the word love to that number, and we'd greatly appreciate it, and we will be reaching back to you. Also, as you look at that rope analogy, okay, so now there's you and there's the strand of Jesus in your life, but Jesus has even more for you. He wants you to be intertwined with other believers, to understand that we need each other to grow in our faith. We need each other to get stronger in what we believe. We cannot do faith on our own. We need to do faith in community. And so I invite you, I encourage you to find a community of faith that you can belong to. If you live locally, you are welcome to come and join us at Highway. You are welcome because we want to be a place where you belong. And so come. If you don't live locally to us, reach out to us. We'll even help you find a good local church near you where you can intertwine and have faith and exercise and grow in your faith with other people around you. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you today for your word that encourages us not to live life alone, that we are stronger together. And Jesus, we thank you for what you have done for us. And what you continue to do for us, that when we are weak, you are strong. Lord, we thank you that you have given us the blessing of other believers, friends, people who journey this faith walk with us. We thank you for them. Lord, I just ask that you would be with us, watch over us, keep us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, Highway is a place to belong. Thank you for joining us at Highway Online today. If you live locally, like I said, you can feel free to join us any Sunday morning. We are in person in the Highway building in Scarborough. And just go to our website, highwaygospel.ca. We'll put that up on the screen for you. And just click the button that says reserve my spot or reserve my seat. And we have to do that. It's pandemic protocols. We are limited to how many people we could have in the building at any one time. So by reserving your seat, you get in, you don't show up to the building and have to go away because there's no seats for you. So do that for us. We would love for you to join us in person because we're stronger together. And if you can't join us in person, please continue to join us online. We are so thankful that you are here and we thank God for you. Have a great week. Be blessed.